This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
The pass rush in football is something that offensive coordinators and coaches have had to deal with since the inception of football. How do you keep people off of your quarterback so he has time to throw? Well, we have the answers of one particular way, and that's Timothy P. Brown has an innovation that came up in early football of the passing game, and it's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another day where we get to visit with our friend Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. This is a good opportunity for us to go Dutch on this podcast.
To go Dutch on this podcast.
Dutch Meyer was the coach.
Oh, okay. All right. I had to think about that for a second. I thought,
Well, this shows that, this is not rehearsed, right?
Right, right. You're name dropping already.
I throw these zingers out at you and you're like.
Usually it's a dad joke segue into the title. And the title, folks, and this is my confusion, is slowing the pass rush with a shovel. So I'm trying to think what Dutch, if he's doing a play on the word on ditch or, I don't know.
No, Dutch Meyer.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us a story about Dutch Meyer and what he has to do with the pass rush being slowed?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is, nowadays we had a recent podcast about the draw play, which, is basically kind of shows up probably in the late 30s and then, but really became more, commonplace. The draw play that we now know, probably more late 40s, kind of a play. And so this idea of, so the whole purpose of the draw play is to give the defense one look, you're showing them pass when you're actually running it. Well, before they developed the draw play, they still had the same need of trying to deceive the defense. And one of the ways that they developed, best as I can tell, around the early, 31, 32 kind of time frame, was the shovel pass. And so, if you think about like a wing T formation at the time, they might have had a wing over on the, not wing T, I'm sorry, but, single wing. They might have had a wing over on the right-hand side. Tailback gets a deep snap, from the center. And then the wing on the right-hand side comes across the formation, and the quarterback does some kind of toss or flip, even a shovel pass to that guy as he's going right to left. So that was, and it was one of those plays where, as the defense is coming in, you're trying to get it to somebody who's crossing over just so that they have to be looking out. Is this a play that they're going to run? Right. I mean, is this something I need to guard against? And so it was one of the ways to slow down the pass rush. And there weren't very many of them back then. There weren't very many ways to slow them down was a shovel pass. So, in the 39 Cotton Bowl game, this was a game where TCU had three players who were drafted the next year in the first 10 of the NFL draft. And And the number one pick in the draft was Davey O'Brien, who was TCU's quarterback. And you can see him in the background, but he was, 5'8", fairly stockily built guy, but, he's a hell of a quarterback and just, really smart guy, all that kind of thing. So they were, at the time, TCU was one of the teams that threw the ball all over the yard. Now nothing like happens today, but when they played Carnegie Tech in that game, and they both teams rushed for about 150 yards, but TCU passed for on the order of 250, whereas Carnegie passed for like 60 or so yards. So it was one of those games where they just TCU was clearly the better player, but or the better team, but during the game, they threw 8 shovel passes, right? So it kind of tells you, I mean, name a game nowadays where a team throws 8 shovel passes. Just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. But for them, that was like one of their central plays because, a lot of the other ways that we, quarterbacks still had to throw in college, quarterbacks still had to be 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage to throw a pass. So none of our bubble screens, none of our quick slants, none of those existed. They were illegal. And so this was one way that they could slow down the pass was a shovel. So they completed 5 of the 8 shovel passes. And that was one of the ways in the second half they advanced the ball down the field. And because this is also in the days of, essentially no or very limited substitutions, O'Brien, the quarterback, kicks the game-winning field goal in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, it's been a while, since I remember a big-time quarterback in a bowl game kicking a field goal to win the game. Now, I don't know when the last time was. When that happened, there's been some punters like Greg Morton. He's a guy that, maybe some listeners remember he punted, but it's been, Blanda probably was the last guy that most of us can think of though. And yeah,
You had Doug Flutie do a drop kick one time, but not on point. So I don't think it was more of a,
I mean, that was basically a circus kick, right?
Right.
And which is fine, but for a guy who did the regular kicking for his team, O'Brien was one of the last ones, and he was place kicking, not drop kicking. So anyways, it's just I guess it's just one of those things where it's one of those period pieces where they're using the shovel pass in a way that we don't use today, but makes sense that they had developed it. And then the same guy who's throwing the shovel pass is the guy who kicks the game-winning, field goal. So then he ends up, he only played like 2 years in the NFL. He ended up, I think he just didn't like the pro game very much, and he was on a really bad team. And so he left the left the NFL and became an FBI agent.
That's back in that era where you make more money, working in a grocery store than playing in the NFL too. And you don't get hurt as much. So, but the shovel pass, so that's, traditionally one of the safest passes to throw because it looks weird when it's an incomplete pass, but it's not a fumble because it's a forward pass if it's dropped, and it's hard for defenders to see it because you're sort of hidden behind those big guys up front with the throwing action, because it's really not enunciated like an over the shoulder passes.
Yeah, the challenge is it's hard to know now like how much traffic there was coming in and coming at the quarterback as the guy's crossing. I didn't find any game film of that particular game, so.
Gosh, you would think the defenders would start to get wise to it after a little while. If maybe they just were inept and
TCU was that much stronger. Then it served its purpose, right? I mean, that's
right.
It slowed down the pass rush if they got wise to it. But
yeah,
or maybe they left some guy to be a spy or something. But They weren't that bright back then.
No. I'm
Not
surprised,
like
but
us.
especially a Western Pennsylvania team. God, it was Carnegie, you know, that's they should be brilliant.
Well, they lost, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. No wonder they don't have a D1 program anymore. So, interesting stuff, Tim. That's a great story, and to hear about Davey O'Brien and some of his great feats of football. So that's some cool things. So you have some very interesting things, not only about players like Davey O'Brien and teams like TCU and a concept of the shovel pass, but you have all kinds of different intricacies of the made football the game that it is, and some are forgotten except by folks like you reminding us on your daily tidbits on your website. So maybe you could share where people can find your writings at.
Sure. Just go out to footballarchaeology.com. I've got a whole archive now, about 1,000 articles out there on different elements of the game. And so have at it. Subscribe if you want to get an email every time that I publish an article. Otherwise, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Substack, or follow me on Threads, and or just go out to the site whenever you feel like it.
All right. Well, excellent job as always, Tim. We really appreciate getting informed and educated on the arts of football from yesteryear. And we would love to hear more about it next week.
And thanks for going Dutch.
Yeah, thanks, Dutch.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.